Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Tanner Boyd.
And I'm Joshua Grandison.
Our hope is that the people who are entitled to benefits get to keep them. Those who are not entitled to benefits, I don't mind if they lose them.
Prestonsburg attorney Ned Pillersdorf is representing 1,500 people in a class action lawsuit against the Social Security Administration.
Kentucky State Police are looking for surveillance footage in Rowan County.
And the debate over the Stars and Bars comes to the Kentucky governor's race.
In sports, the Reds are playing tonight in Pittsburgh against the Pirates.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
There is a chance for some thunderstorms tonight with lows dipping down to 63 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A lawsuit pitting hundreds of Eastern Kentuckians against the Social Security Administration has grown. Last month, the SSA suspended disability benefits to about 900 people in the region before later restoring them. Attorneys have now amended the suit to include around 600 additional people who have never lost their benefits but still face a review of whether they can keep them. Brian Hall, one of the many plaintiffs in the lawsuit, tells WYMT his life has been chaotic since the administration notified him and hundreds of others their benefits are under review.
Going everywhere to try to do this and do that, get copies for the medical records, and it's just been hectic.
Ned Pillersdorf, a Prestonsburg attorney, who is heading the legal team representing roughly 1,500 people in lawsuits against the SSA, and Eric Kahn, the disability lawyer whose investigation for fraudulent practices triggered the cancellation of benefits, says the hope is that the people who do need benefits get to keep them.
Kentucky's legislative leaders have resolved a sexual harassment lawsuit involving a former Democratic lawmaker and two state workers. Thomas Clay, the attorney for Yolanda Costner and Cassandra Cooper, says the case has been resolved to the satisfaction of the parties. He has declined to elaborate. Costner is a former aide to House Majority Whip Johnny Bell. Cooper still works for Bell. The pair filed a sexual harassment lawsuit alleging former Democratic State Representative John Arnold touched them inappropriately and that the Legislative Research Commission did not do enough to protect them. Arnold was later fined $3,000 by the Legislative Branch Ethics Commission. He has appealed that fine.
A former state representative is on trial in Pike County. According to the Herald Leader, former Democratic Representative Keith Hall was indicted in October on charges of bribery and extortion. Hall spent Monday in federal court. He's on trial after being accused of paying a mine inspector, Kelly Shortridge, to influence reports filed for Hall's coal mines. Shortridge has already pled guilty and admitted during 2009 and 2010 that Hall bribed him to not cite the former lawmaker's mines for repeated violations. Shortridge says Hall disguised most of the money as payments to a shell business. Shortridge is expected to testify in the case.
Maysville is one of nine communities to receive a certified local government grant from the Kentucky Heritage Council and the State Historic Preservation Office. Vicki Bierenberg is the administrator of the grant program. She says Maysville received around $9,000 to expand the boundaries of its downtown National Register of Historic Places.
And once those boundaries are expanded, the property owners within that area will be eligible for federal and state financial incentives for rehabilitation. So that's a really good thing for Maysville.
Property owners in the National Register are able to use those tax incentives when restoring or rehabilitating a historic property. If the property owner wants to receive those credits, they must follow certain standards of property restoration, such as replacing a building's original wooden windows with new wooden windows instead of vinyl windows. Property owners are not compelled to comply with those standards, and they will be ineligible for tax credits if they choose to not comply.
Flemingsburg's water treatment plant is up and running. Moorhead State Public Radio's Jared Wesley has more.
Upgrades to the water treatment plant in Flemingsburg have been completed. According to Flemingsburg Utility Superintendent Joe Dunaway, the upgrades cost $2.8 million and were completed at the beginning of this month. The plant's operations began again on June the 10th. Dunaway said that everything is running smoothly thus far. City Council members are welcome to come see the new and improved plant. The work was funded through a loan with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Terry Enzor will be sticking around for a little while longer as the interim executive director of the Morehead-Rowan County Economic Development Council. Enzor, who was hired last July after the resignation of Brett Traver, plans to remain in the post until next summer. According to the former banker, he's in the midst of some key economic development efforts, and he wants to finish what he started.
There's about four things that we've got going on that these people have just about dealt solely with me and me with them, and I just don't feel like it would be, and our board doesn't feel like it would be a good time to stop that and to put some different person in there that has to kind of start over.
Enzor says the EDC's board hopes to find a suitable replacement for him next spring, and he plans to work with that person to aid in a smooth transition.
The Morehead City Council is still mulling over what to do with a piece of the town's past. Councilman Tom Carew says the future of a small tract of land off Knapp Avenue that contains a tiny 80-year-old stone voting house that's no longer in use remains under consideration. He notes at this point Mayor Jim Tom Trent and some of his staffers recommend the property be sold.
There's maintenance required, and it's not a whole lot of benefit probably to the city, but I'm sure there's an historic quality to it. And so I think from the city council's standpoint, we voted at the last council meeting to postpone the decision on whether to sell it or not so that we could, as a council, take some more time and think about it.
Nearby St. Clair Regional Medical Center had once expressed an interest in acquiring the voting house property with the idea of turning it into a small public park. Crew says that idea may not be off the table, but adds it would be nice to hear from Morehead's residents about what they think should be done with the land.
It could be 2 to 3 months before the Rowan County Board of Education fills its upcoming vacancy. Chairman Bill Redwine is resigning at the end of this month, and a replacement will have to be found to fill the remainder of his unexpired term on the board. Superintendent Marvin Moore says the district will advertise the opening for a couple of weeks in early July, with those applying for it sending their letters to State Education Commissioner Terry Holliday.
Then the commissioner will appoint 3 individuals, usually 2 board members from the surrounding county and a layperson, to interview those applicants. And then normally they rank those applicants. Then they send those names back to the commissioner. And from that, the commissioner appoints to the next general election.
The commissioner's office will have up to 90 days to fill the vacancy on the Rowan School Board. Moore says current members of the panel are expected to choose their new chairman at their regularly scheduled meeting in July.
The move to remove Confederate flags and monuments has found its way into Kentucky's gubernatorial race. Will Clark has more.
Republican gubernatorial candidate Matt Bevin says the removal of the Jefferson Davis statue from the Capitol Rotunda is in line with the removal of the Confederate flag from the South Carolina Capitol. In a written statement, Bevin acknowledges that Davis is part of Kentucky's history, but goes on to say the statue would be a better fit in a museum than in a government building. Democratic candidate Jack Conway said he would have to think about the removal of the statue, but agrees with the removal of the Confederate flag from the South Carolina Capitol. I'm Will Clark.
The Confederate battle flag is a focal point of race discussions in South Carolina because of its original meaning, which has changed. The flag, first flown by the Army of Northern Virginia to help with troop deployment, was not the flag of the Confederate States. Daniel Vivian is a University of Louisville history professor.
Since the Civil Rights era, it has been very closely associated with a defense of segregation, racism, efforts to resist federal authority, and to maintain white supremacy in the South. And it's impossible to separate that history from the notion that a symbol of heritage. It just can't be done. It's part of a much more complicated, much more divisive, and really quite ugly history.
The debate over the battle flag has spread to other Confederate monuments in southern states, including Kentucky.
U.S. Senator and presidential hopeful Rand Paul, along with several other GOP candidates, received donations from the leader of a white supremacist group that was cited in a manifesto believed to be authored by Dylan Roof, the man who shot and killed 9 people last week in Charleston, South Carolina church. The donations, first reported by The Guardian, came from a man named Earl Holt. He is president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, a group that the Southern Poverty Law Center describes as the modern reincarnation of the Altwide Citizens Council, which were formed in the 1950s and 1960s to have battle school desegregations in the South. Since 2012, Holt has contributed $1,750 to the Political Action Committee of Paul, as well as donating money to fellow GOP primary candidates Ted Cruz and Rick Santorum. Doug Stafford, a senior advisor to Rand Paul, says Rand PAC will be donating the funds to the Mother Emanuel Hope Fund to assist the families of the shooting victims. Santorum says he will do the same.
The only Democrat in Kentucky's congressional delegation says he'll run for re-election in the state's 3rd district seat in the Louisville area. U.S. Representative John Yarmuth says that he will seek a 6th term in an effort to change the priorities of the next Republican-led Congress. Although he can't file until November, Yarmuth says he didn't want speculation about his office to be a distraction in races for statewide offices. Yarmuth, who was first elected to Congress in 2006, says his priorities include the federal budget, the Affordable Care Act, and immigration reform.
Kentucky State Police are searching for surveillance footage from an area in Clearfield, but they aren't saying why. The press release from Post 9 in Moorhead says they are searching for people who may have a security system that filmed roadways on June 18th and 19th. They are specifically looking for footage of the area between Sharon Drive to Kentucky 519 and the stretch of Kentucky 519 and McBrayer Road. The KSP is not elaborating further. Anyone with footage is asked to contact Trooper Keith Howard at 606-784-4127.
Less than 24 hours after receiving a request for firefighter support, 21 Kentucky Division of Forestry firefighters are on their way to Alaska. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has more.
The 16 full-time and 5 seasonal firefighters will be leaving from Knoxville, Tennessee today and are headed to battle a blaze in Alaska. There are currently 7 large fires burning in the land of the midnight sun. KDF firefighters volunteer for this duty and will take leave from their regular duties for the 14-day assignment. KDF personnel will join with federal personnel from the Daniel Boone National Forest, Land Between the Lakes National Recreation Area, Great Onyx Job Corps, and Big South Fork National River and Recreation Area to form 2 crews. While wildfires have not posed a problem for Kentucky this summer, forestry officials want to remind private landowners, public land managers, and homeowners to help prevent wildland fires. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Jordan Simonson.
A Pike County man who wants to be the next star of MTV's Jackass is spending his time behind bars in the Pike County Detention Center. Timothy Smith admits that he stripped down, poured milk on his body, and ran screaming through Walmart for $50 after he had been drinking. He tells WKYT he does not regret his actions and even says he would do it again.
Sort of freaked me out today. He was like, "You're high risk to the community." It's like, okay, if you say so, I think I'm low risk to the community. Last thing anybody should worry about. Pike County, I think everybody, all this in the world, you know, all laughs out of it. And I'm sitting here, and everybody else having fun with it.
But Pike County Assistant Attorney Kyle Deskins doesn't find indecent exposure funny. Smith is facing charges of indecent exposure, disorderly conduct, and criminal mischief.
Deputies in Harlan County arrested a man on Tuesday after searching his home. WYMT reports that after an undercover investigation, deputies obtained a search warrant for John Paul Thomas's home in Dehoyt. During the search, nearly 200 oxycodone pills valued at more than $10,000 and some marijuana was found. Deputies seized 3 vehicles and over $2,500 in cash. Thomas was arrested and faces charges of drug trafficking and is lodged in the Harlan County Detention Center.
Frankfort's mayor plans to have an outside group take an independent look at the city's police department and how they worked on bourbon thefts and steroid trafficking cases. More from Karen Czar.
Frankfort Mayor Bill May is proposing an independent investigation of the capital city's police department after a DARE officer within the department resigned around the time the Pappy Van Winkle bourbon heist case was being solved. The mayor says questions have been raised about Officer Mike Wells' alleged illegal involvement with one of the men indicted in the case.
My whole reason for having an outside group look at the Frankfort Police Department in terms of the allegations brought against one of our former officers and others is to make sure that we clear the department so the public remains confident that our department is going to get back to normal in that they can trust and believe in the fine women and men that put on our uniform every day and go and protect our community.
Wells has not been charged, but there are allegations that he had dealings with Toby Kurtzinger, who's been indicted by the Franklin County Sheriff's Office and has been named as a ringleader in the bourbon thefts, totaling more than $100,000, and trafficking steroids. Kurtzinger and others charged in the case have pleaded not guilty. Frankfort Police Chief Jeff Abrams says an independent investigation would, quote, clear the air, and he fully supports it. Reporting from Lexington, I'm Karen Czar.
An Owsley County man has been arrested and accused of distributing child pornography. According to WKYT, police arrested 21-year-old Matthew Holland last Thursday following an undercover Internet Crimes Against Children investigation. It started after police discovered Holland shared images of children online. Any electronic equipment that police believe may have been used in the distribution of images was confiscated and will be analyzed. Holland is charged with 6 counts of distribution of matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. And turning now to the weather forecast for the Morehead State Public Radio listening area. Cooler temperatures tonight, mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then mostly cloudy, widespread dense valley fog developing toward dawn, so please drive carefully. Lows near 63 degrees, chance of rain is 20%. Wednesday will be mostly sunny, widespread dense valley fog early on, highs close to 87 degrees, and Wednesday night will be partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows around 64 degrees, chance of rain is 30%. It's currently 88 degrees in Ashland, 87 degrees in Flemingsburg, 86 degrees in Inez, 84 degrees in Lexington, 81 degrees in Winchester, and 85 degrees here in Moorhead.
Time is 4:47. You are tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Tanner Boyd here with Joshua Grandison, and we're both glad you could be tuned in this afternoon. On our feature segment, congressional Republicans are banking on the budget bill to block the Federal Communications Commission from implementing its net neutrality rules. The FCC's order treats the Internet as telephone service, which supporters say helps guarantee consumers a level playing field. Greg Stottlemyre reports.
When the Federal Communications Commission decided earlier this year to treat the Internet like telephone service, it was hailed by supporters of net neutrality as a way to close the digital divide between rural and urban. But Republicans in Congress have buried a provision in their budget prevent the FCC from enforcing an order aimed at preserving an open Internet. Dee Davis, president of the Center for Rural Strategies, says the budget maneuver is an end run by the big telecommunications companies around the FCC.
But I'm glad that we've got a regulatory agency that cares more about consumers than they do about the big companies who are making all the money on this process.
According to the Rural Broadband Policy Group, of the 19 million Americans who don't have Internet access, more than 14 million live in rural parts of the country. Ironically, the threat to net neutrality comes from the House Appropriations Committee, which is chaired by Congressman Hal Rogers, Republican from rural Kentucky. Rogers says the policy provision would rein in overreach by the Obama administration. Davis, who is based in Whitesburg, says the problem is the market is not working in most of rural America.
Congressman Rogers knows that if places like East Kentucky are going to compete, we're going to have access to high-speed, affordable Internet.
The House budget legislation would prohibit the FCC from implementing net neutrality until certain court cases are resolved. Almost 4 million Americans contacted the FCC, voicing their support for net neutrality. Advocates say net neutrality makes it more likely that broadband will come to rural areas. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It's 4:49. Jared Wesley has been keeping an eye on your sports world, and he's up in just a minute.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, opened at 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and located near the entrance to the Moorhead City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market features farm-to-table, locally grown fruits and vegetables, assorted canned and baked goods, and homemade crafts. Farmers Market Nutrition Program WIC and Senior Checks accepted. For additional information, the phone number is 784-5457. Kentucky Proud. Nothing else is close.
an NL Central matchup tonight. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. After a rare day off, the Cincinnati Reds swing back into play tonight at 7:05 in Pittsburgh as they start a series with the Pirates. The action will give All-Star third baseman Todd Frazier a chance to continue to add to his solid work at the plate in June. Frazier is hitting .318 this month and has hit 7 homers while driving in 17 runs. Manager Brian Price says Frazier has been a threat every time he comes to bat.
You always anticipate something good happening. It doesn't just have to be a home run. It can be a hard base hit to start an inning or a gapper. It's just a lot of hard contact. I know we celebrate the home runs. I just like the fact he's giving us good at-bats. He's not expanding the zone early and does a nice job when he gets a good pitch to hit.
Just called up from AAA Louisville, rookie Josh Smith will pitch tonight for the Reds. 4-3 lefty Jeff Locke will be on the mound for the Pirates. Sacramento Kings coach George Karl might be trying to get rid of former Kentucky standout DeMarcus Cousins. This according to Yahoo Sports per sources. The Los Angeles Lakers are interested in obtaining the big man, but the trade might not be so easy. ESPN's Chris Broussard explains.
This is the problem, though. The Kings are not, right now at least, going to trade DeMarcus Cousins. Vivek Ranadive, the owner, is insistent publicly, but more importantly, privately, that he will not trade Cousins. Coach George Karl does want to trade Cousins, but Ranadive will not let him.
The NBA draft is this Thursday, and projected number one overall pick Karl Anthony Towns is singing praises to his old school. The former Wildcat appeared on the Dan Patrick Show this morning and said he never considered another school during recruitment.
Kentucky Wildcat basketball is only one of a kind, and but when you find out how great the school is academically and how great it is as a university.
Towns is expected to be drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Morehead State basketball coach Sean Woods is losing one of his lieutenants. Assistant and lead recruiter B.J. Ellis is leaving the Eagle program after 3 seasons to take a position with Custom College Recruiting, an agency that acts as a clearinghouse for student-athletes looking for collegiate opportunities. Ellis says he's loved Morehead State and working for Woods, but he made the decision to change jobs so he could spend more time with his wife and 3 young daughters.
I want to be an all-conference dad. I want to be an all-American husband. And, I saw down the road that was going to be hard for me to do as they're getting older and getting into more activities and stuff with the job that I had.
Bath County Athletic Director Arlen McNabb says the school's new girls basketball coach is already hard at work, trying to shape her team for next winter. Melanie Rogers was hired recently to replace Troy Lee Thomas, who was let go after 4 years on the job. According to McNabb, Rogers is still trying to determine what style of play might work best for the Lady Cats.
You know, everybody wants to play the up-tempo and shoot the 3, but she doesn't know with the returning players whether or not we'll be able to do that. You got Sarah Price returning, and then after that, very little varsity experience. And that's evident in summer ball so far.
Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier is named a new offensive coordinator. Veteran offensive line coach Patrick St. Louis has been tabbed to replace Craig Mullins, who passed away in May after a battle with cancer. St. Louis says, at least this point, he's keeping his goals for his new job simple.
For me, it's just kind of continue our success. You know, we've had offensively, we've done a good job, last few years, and what we've done, I want to continue that production into the future.
Tom Brady is in New York today appealing his 4-game Deflategate suspension. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
The Super Bowl MVP contends it was NFL executive Troy Vincent who imposed the 4-game suspension and that under the labor agreement, only the commissioner can issue such discipline. Commissioner Roger Goodell says it's his punishment, regardless of whose name was on the letter. Brady is also arguing the league's report on underinflated footballs used in a playoff game doesn't prove air was deliberately let out of the balls, and that the punishment is harsher than for similar infractions. The Patriots were also fined and docked draft choices. The club is not contesting its punishment. Warren Levinson, New York.
Finally tonight in sports, the Rowan County girls soccer team is wrapping up voluntary conditioning drills, rather, as it prepares for the KHSAA summer dead period. The 2-week layoff for Randy Wallace's squad begins on Thursday, and the coach hopes they won't lose any of the progress that they've made in recent days.
We can't have any contact with them.
during that two-week period. But we usually ask that they get out and run four or five times a week. And if they've got a ball at home, get out and work on their skills, and they can juggle and do some things on their own.
The Lady Vikings will be out to improve this year on their 15-7-1 record in 2014. They'll be helped by the return of seniors Hannah Bandura and Montana Minor, who combined for 29 goals last season. That'll do it for Sports Tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
And support for Morehead State Public Radio comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Volleyball will hold a JV and varsity team camp July 11th through the 13th for teams of 8 to 12 players, skill sessions and tournament included. More information from the Eagle Volleyball office at 783-9514 and online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mildly higher as investors remained optimistic on the Greece debt talks and eyed continued signs of moderate economic growth. And the NASDAQ composite closed at a record for the second day in a row, and the index touched a fresh intraday high soon after the opening, but traded below the flat line for much of the day. And after some recent weakness, the U.S. dollar rose amid the economic reports and also the gains in Treasury bond yields today. And at the close, the Dow Industrial show a modest gain of 24.29 at 18,144.07. The S&P 500 was up 1.35 at 2124.2, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 6.12 at an all-time record closing high of 5160.09. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17 to 12 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And the dollar, as mentioned, rose more than 1% against major world currencies. And the euro fell to trade below $1.12, while the yen weakened to about 124 yen against the dollar. And Treasury yields finished today at 2.41%. And, of course, Treasury yields have been going up this week after dropping last week, and the two-year yield held near 0.67% after the U.S. Treasury auctioned $26 billion of two-year notes at a high yield of 0.692%. The Russell 2000 extended gains to hit a new time or a new all-time high after closing at a record yesterday. And overnight, European stocks were higher on anticipation of resolution in the Greece debt crisis. And also, Japan's blue-chip Nikkei index hit a 15-year high in trading last night. In the U.S., further signs that the economic recovery is picking up pace after a tepid first quarter continued to surface today with good reports as existing home sales jumped 5.1% in May to a 5.5-year high, and also the FHFA housing price index showed an increase of 0.3% in April, while new home sales rose 2.2% in May. U.S. durable goods data for May showed a decline of 1.8%, a greater decline than expected. The core figure of non-defense capital goods orders, excluding aircraft, actually rose 0.4%. In individual company news, BlackBerry fell 4.2% after the handset maker missed estimates on both the top and bottom lines for the latest quarterly earnings, and Darden Restaurants closed just slightly higher as the Olive Garden parent reported adjusted quarterly profit of $1.08 a share, 15 cents above estimates, while revenue also beat expectations, and AT&T jumped nearly 2.5% after the stock was upgraded to overweight from neutral at Barclays. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 42 cents at 127.53, CSX down 18 cents at 34.87, AK Steel up 14 cents at 4.49, Marathon Petroleum up 30 cents at 52.19, AEP down 91 cents at 53.33, and Anthem was down $1 at 170.04. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, and Samantha Morrill, from WUKY, Karen Czar, and from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Joshua Grandison and all the MSPR news team, I'm Tanner Boyd. For Morehead State Public Radio News, all things considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.